for the prior year, so that we could see the variance, actual invariance. And because it seems to me as though there's, I think we went through a lot of work, extra work last year, trying to determine where people were pulling numbers out of the sky and where there was some basis in reality for these numbers. And it would be so much more convenient if we could have actual invariance from the prior year to at least, compare against these budgeted
amounts. I'll send you a copy of PFW's format, and you can look at it, and then we can talk about it.
Wait a minute. PFW is one of the main offenders here last year, and I just couldn't believe that people were just pulling these numbers out of the sky, as far as it seemed to me.
LaVarne, something Stephen did for us last year that we hadn't done in prior years when you were on the committee was he threw in comparison columns that weren't, instead of being current year with forecast, they were prior 12-month period actuals. And that was a really helpful reality check, because I think some of the forecasts we were comparing our budgets to were inaccurate in the past.
I'll look at the we'll talk about it.
Yeah, if we can look at the,
try to get a business managers meeting going next week, and we can go over each one of those. Maybe we'll send it out. Brian, you can be there. Maybe Campbell can also attend.
Last year, I remember I had asked when I first became treasurer, amongst the variety of things that I had asked for was a standard budget. I thought that would be the standard format. It's always been in any other organization with which I've been affiliated. And the fact that there wasn't this actual invariance that you could look at in terms of the budgeted thing here, was incredibly problematic. And when you're looking at staff persons and you've got the same horses virtually in the race this year as you had last year, coming up with a concept that, this year they're all going to be able to have capes and red S's on their chests. That just, as we found last year when we went through the process, and I think it was a lot more tedious last year than it had to be, because if we could have very easily compared prior results with, what had come that year, and even if we could have looked at the prior year and compared actual invariances against budgets, I think we would have been able to move a lot quicker through the analyses.
Like I said, we'll try to get a business managers meeting to go over just these things. I'm sending out
You're breaking up.
Business managers, and also going to require training.
LaVarne,
you're breaking up.
Your phone.
I'm sorry. You know what? It's the cell phone. Let me move the cell phone. Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. What that requires is training, and also it requires to have a format that's consistent across all stations, so you can talk to the same. You're talking the same language,
right.
And you're talking about, like you're saying, you want to see variance, you want to see reasonableness, you don't want to put a forecast in, you want to compare it to prior year and to prior forecast. So we'll have our business manager. Everyone will have their layout there. We'll go over each one of those items and parts of the plan. Of the budget. You look at capital, you look at headcount, you look at your budget, you look at cash flow. So
as long as I think that having a comparable across all stations is
absolutely
essential.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're getting to that point. And in defense of each one of the business managers, it does require training. And if there was no requirement or demand before, you didn't do it if it wasn't required. But we're drilling down to the business managers level to have them accountable for that and see how that will help them to understand their business, and they can discuss this with the GM, and the GM will have responsibility instead of the business manager in terms of explaining the results. But and it's a mutual effort between the business manager and the GM. But, thank you, Campbell.
Yeah. somewhere one other point. Somewhere in this process, and I'm very distressed to hear that that's going to require training. And I found that that was the case when I was asking for a sources and uses of funds statement. I think would be a very helpful thing if you could come up with, LaVarne. I imagine if you've been like me in a similar kind of situation, you've probably had nights where you were up a little late and whatnot, and come up with a proposed job description.
That's the requirement. Also, at the stations to do, I guess they call them SOPs. I can ask for that, but I have the business manager also to ask for that.
If you can request, if you can come up with yourself in terms of your experience, what a business manager needs to have capability of doing, I think that that could be very helpful so that, you know, going forward, we are putting the right people in the right places.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we have some business managers who are very good at what they do. So what I would do is to work with them in terms of outlining their, they call them SOPs because that's what we need in operations also in the station. And we will have that laid out. So like you said, see what takes you to do your job at a standard pace and then what it takes to perform above and beyond your expectations.
Okay.
Thank you, Cam.
That's good, folks. I want to stick to the budget timeline issue here. I just did want to say one thing. You know, one thing that makes the budgeting process that can make it challenging is that if people have to cut costs, you know, there's a lot of
rancor.
You know, people don't want to cut costs. And one thing that can happen is there's income lines tend to be larger than they ought to
inflated.
Be.
Inflated?
So, you know, part of our job is to be skeptical about budgets. Okay, but I think we passed our motion that this be communicated to the CFO by management by the CFO, so that's good. So the final item is report re-audit questions that Brian came up with. And I have to say, Brian, I actually put out on the email, I recorded your questions, but I wanted to run them by you to make sure that I had them correct before I passed them
on. Uh-oh, did you need a response from me?
Yeah, I didn't get one, so I drifted from that issue, but if my transcription was correct, I will pass them on.
Let me pull them up right now.
What would this be under?
It's an email I sent out after our last meeting.
Oh, so this goes back a couple weeks?
A couple of weeks back in the long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's a completely accurate summary, what you wrote up.
Okay, and then the point was to send this to the CFO and auditor?
Well, LaVarne had agreed to follow up on those questions when we went through them orally.
Oh,
no, wait, she was not on that part of the call. I'm sorry. Three of them boil down to, did they change the way they value unfulfilled pledges dramatically? Because it's the only plausible explanation for some of the huge swings we saw in our balance sheet.
The receivables.
Yeah, pledge receivables.
So do you have an answer, Brian?
No, I don't. I want an answer.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for reminding me that I want an answer.
But what were you looking at, the way they value receivables?
Yeah, I will send this out one more time.
Okay.
And so we're going to send it to LaVarne. The idea is LaVarne, if necessary, will go to the
auditor.
Auditor.
I'll send him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, there's a tried and true form. If I can recall, I thought that there wasn't a change. I don't have an audit in front of me, but I know I looked at it. And,
there was a huge year-over-year increase in assets driven by pledge receivables that made it look like there were surpluses at several stations that were showing deficits on their unaudited financials.
In assets, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, in pledge receivables, which are counted as an asset.
Oh, okay.
Unfulfilled
pledges.
So we
have to look at what they use to value the pledge receivables, because that's what has to be done. At the end of each year, you have to go in and determine of the pledges that are outstanding, which do you actually
have a chance of collecting.
Collect. I mean,
right.
it's
aged at all?
It's a pretty simple exercise based on looking at your your fund drives over the period of the fund drive in terms of when it's going to drop off in terms of not receiving more. So, yeah, that's the way you just age.
So it would be great to see what their formula is and also how it compares to what was used in the prior year. So
That's what happens when you change auditors. You get different you get a difference in how we actually do things like that. So then you get into a discussion of what was better or what was higher or lower because you don't know. I mean, it's a value judgment of whether it was better or worse.
Well, one
right.
Thing,
I just want whatever information we need to qualify that information so we understand how it's different from the prior year. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
Because it's not in the notes anywhere, and if you gave it a quick look, you're like, hot damn, you know, our assets just went up $1.3 million.
We're swimming in the money.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Also, you know, this requires on an operations area that we really need to look at pledges and you know how much and we need to give the information to the auditor in terms of you know not only in terms of what they use process they use to value them but you know what we believe we can collect so what you're putting in your forecast and in your cash flow.
But it's a policy statement.
It is, but I'm saying that, you know, the policy, I mean, you know what you're going to collect. You need to get that information.
If you find that it was not valued accurately, or if we come to that conclusion, you might need a big write-down this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're raising a very important point because that relates to what the auditor's experience is with organizations like ours.
But we're
a nonprofit, and other folks have pledges, and you know the one thing I can recall very clearly on several points, in the January meeting, the auditor's comments suggested that he understood this to be a very top-down organization, which, insofar as the interaction that I had seen take place. Didn't really look that way at all. And, you know, I think that the kind of culture that you're coming from, if you've worked with a lot of nonprofits previously of this sort, and not to, you know, take anything away from Pacifica's uniqueness, but if you've worked with nonprofits of this sort that have such a grassroots connection and where the kinds of pledges can be very mercurial from moment to moment, then you know that you aren't, you know, it's a difference between
thank you, Campbell.
That and something else.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Alberto.
Can we get a report back on those particular, I'm very interested on the issues that Brian raised. Can we get a report back from the CFO eventually, but not too later in the future, not too late in the future?
What do you want?
Can we get a report from you on the questions that Brian raised?
On what was the method that they used? Yeah, I'll call Tony tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let me make a note. I'll call Tony tomorrow, Mr. Cole, I'm sorry, and ask the methodology for valuing.
I'll send it to you.
Because there was about four questions that Brian had on the audit.
Yeah, four. One of them got answered, but yeah, I'll send you the text.
Okay.
I'll just forward it over to Tony. Okay.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, thank you, LaVon. Okay, so I think that wraps up that item, and that's the last thing.
Well, I'm sorry, Jamie. Can I just say something? Actually,
you certainly can.
That should be handled by the audit committee, and that would be an exception if you guys want to make an exception and have me do it. Otherwise, it should go through audit. I don't know. Whatever you think, I'll take care of it. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, LaVon. Okay, that brings us to the end of our agenda for this evening. So
moved.
I guess we can adjourn. If people want to set a date, we can do that, or we can see how things develop and set a date online. What would be your preference?
Well, my one question is we identified a bunch of uncertainties in these cash flows. The biggest one is we don't have WPFWs yet, but also there was some uncertainty about WBAI numbers. And I do think this is the most pressing issue facing us right now. I'm wondering if there's a point at which we're going to have, we could maybe have a quick meeting around a revised and more accurate set of cash flow forecasts.
Well, I tell you what, instead of a meeting, why don't we set a time for us to get the revised one, too. You look at it, and then we can set a meeting.
That sounds good to me.
With the meeting.
Okay, what would be a date that you guys can get the revisions out by?
Let's look at,
A week?
Yeah, we'll give it a week. But we, yeah, because if we look at that and look at our timeline for our plan, and we're going to, I think today is Tuesday, we'll try to set up the business managers meeting for next Tuesday also. Then if we want to have it after, get it to you, because we'll need to get it to the business managers right before the business managers meeting. So if we have it done, not next Tuesday, but next Monday, then we have our business managers meeting, and they can look at it also. And then if there are any questions, we can send out questions from the business managers meeting, and then you guys can decide next Tuesday whether you want to have another meeting.
All right. Is that acceptable to the committee?
So let me see what that is. We're going to be getting information to us by next Monday?
Monday, a revised cash flow.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll have PFW, but we will have the national office. We'll have WBAI. We'll have, are there any other questions?
Election costs?
And on the election costs for the national office. So, you know, and we'll have a cash flow, and we'll have risk and opportunities because, again, we do have the opportunity of income due to an insert in the voting and the ballot. And then we have the actual cost that we know of the personnel. We'll talk with the HR director about how do you classify them. And we'll work with the NES. I will work with the NES, or someone here in the office will work with the NES in terms of doing the financial impact or a budget.
Okay. So is that acceptable to the committee? We wait till we receive the revised version and then decide on a meeting date?
Right. Sure.
Okay. Well, hearing no objection, then that's what we will do. And thank you, Lavon, for making those revisions. I think Brian is correct. You know, getting an accurate assessment of how much money we're going to have at the end of the year is very important, since it's
yeah. And you know
not
what?
That
I think that if we have time, I'll have Efren just do a not so that we'll not stop in September. We'll go through the next 3 months because then we'll see where the cash is coming in October, November, December. I think that's critical at this time.
If you can get it out to January, that's the lowest cash month for most of our stations.
Well, right, but then January you do a dry. Well, you do the dry.
No, most of us do it in February.
February.
The very beginning of February.
Okay, well, maybe there's okay.
So January is usually the low water mark.
Well, you know, we'll do as many months out as we think that is reasonable. How about that?
That sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I'm Jamie.
Turn. Yes.
Jamie.
Yes. Alberto.
I need for you to send me email, the Word document with Brian's schedule for last year.
Sure.
For the budget process. Will you send that to me, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I move to adjourn.
Okay.
We're gone.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Okay. Good night.
Right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.